Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Anne-Marie is here telling me how to ice my Christmas cake. I said I'd be lucky if it's still standing. I'm afraid to unwrap it. It's been up there for 2 months. Now, many of us would like to get creative when it comes to baking at this time of the year. In particular, you know, your Christmas baking, it's one of those things that you like to tick off your list. But would you venture into making your own jam? That's why we have Anne-Marie Dunn with us, bakery lecturer in the School of Culinary Arts at TU Dublin in Grange Gorman. And Tara Garton is here as well, pastry chef and chocolatier. You're both very welcome and both very qualified to have this conversation, because I think a lot of people would be daunted when it comes to making your own jam. Now you're looking at me as if to say, why?
Well, I think a lot of people have grown, their memories of jam making is probably with their mother or their grandmother. And if fruit is abundant near you, you have to do something with it. But always, I think the daunting part is don't start with the difficult jam. Start with the easy one, the one that has plenty of pectin, your blackcurrants or your raspberries. The strawberry jam can cause fright to people because they're saying it won't set because of the higher, less pectin in it.
Strawberries really low in pectin, and so are like rhubarb and cherries and apricots. So those kind of jams would end up soft set. And that if you're looking for like a supermarket set on your jams, you need to be using high pectin fruit. We were having a great chat before that. And it was lovely to meet someone who loves jam as much as we do. Yeah. But yeah.
Okay, so remind me again, the high pectin fruits are?
So the likes of your blackcurrants, your raspberries, your damsons, gooseberries, all super high pectin and are easy to make. Yeah. But the damson now would have a stone in it because that adds complications. So we won't talk about the damson. Definitely the raspberry or blackcurrant, so easy to use blackcurrants.
Can we use frozen berries now?
Absolutely.
Yes. I primarily use frozen berries.
Yeah.
So I work for myself and I don't have a lot of free time. So what I do is when the fruit is ready, I pick it, wash it and pop it in the freezer. And to make my life easier so I don't have like more stress, I actually write down the weight of what it is on the bag or the container.
Clever.
So 6 months later when I'm looking for fruit and I go, how much is this? I go, oh, I have 600 kilos there. Or 6 kilos, not 600 kilos. You'd want a
big
freezer
for that.
But 6 kilos of fruit, I go, okay. And then I can do my maths and figure out how much sugar I need, how much lemon juice I need. And you make your life so much easier. The only thing is, though, you can like let the bag or the container run under cold water in your fridge or, sorry, in your sink and let it defrost. Or you can use it frozen. Both of those things will work perfectly well.
Right.
Same as fresh fruit.
Okay. You agree with all of that,
absolutely,
Anne-Marie.
And then as well as that, and you probably understand this well from making the jam, the important thing is getting the sugar properly dissolved and know when to add the sugar. And the important thing, we'll just talk about maybe blackcurrants because they're easy, or raspberries, is to make sure that your fruit is softened before you start adding sugar. Yeah. Because if you don't, you'll have bullets of fruit in there if you add it in when there's
the sugar will start to clump around the frozen fruit. So if you pop your frozen fruit or your regular fruit into the pot and put heat up high, if you're nervous that it'll burn, you can actually pop in your lemon juice or even a bit of water. Because when you're cooking the jam, the fruit, you're basically helping the water from the fruit to evaporate. And then the sugar and the jam, you lose the water.
Okay.
And that's what helps you set.
We're going to go back to the beginning now. Yeah. We're going to get our pot out.
The tips.
Yeah. How do we do it? Very basic jam.
Well, it's so important that you select the correct utensils. So a large, heavy base, a wide, tall saucepan is what you need.
And
a preserving
pot. Taller
pot.
Than you think you need. Because jam will start to boil. And the last thing you need is your hob covered in sticky hot
fruit. Boiling sugar, which can be very, very dangerous. So you have to be careful as well. Don't have animals underneath your feet or children for that matter, because it will splash and sometimes you have to step back. But that's why you need the high, narrow, but wide base saucepan, and heavy based if you can.
Okay.
And then I always grease my pot to start with a little bit of margarine, which I think is good. Helps the initial fruit to stop sticking, and also helps to stop the fruit from boiling over the jam when it's boiling over as well.
I've never heard that
bit
before.
Yeah. And soften the fruit. So
fruit in first.
Fruit in first. And if I'm making blackcurrant, a little bit of water as well goes in with blackcurrants, because it doesn't have much juice in there. So you need to create water. You soften that at a very low temperature. You're simmering your fruit to start with. Not boiling, simmering. And when you're getting your jars ready, so while you have your fruit prepared, it's important to use clean, dry fruit that's right to pick. So you don't want it overripe. You have to be very careful there's no moldy fruit in there, because that will cause problems later on in the preservation. You want your fruit just ripe or slightly underripe, but just ripe is when you want to pick them. And when you clean them and sort them, get them into your saucepan, heavy base, I say, you need to then, when that's simmering, have your jars ready. So you need your jars sterilised, and they must be sterilised. Yeah. So you need to have them washed, dry, and in the oven, on a rack or on a tray. I always put them in around 120 degrees. So it takes at least a half an hour to make your jam. So they can be sterilising in the oven while you're making your jam. And then the next thing is you get back to getting your sugar prepared. Again, if you use your sugar, it's warmed. So I'll often warm my sugar. I'll even give it a zap in the microwave, warm it up. That will help to reduce the sugar much quicker when you do get it into the fruit.
Okay, so and are you using jam sugar?
No.
I personally don't.
Neither do I.
I just, if you are using high pectin fruit like blackcurrants, if you use pectin, like sugar with pectin, like jam sugar, as you see in the supermarket, you will end up with a solid rubber block that you could bounce down the street.
I don't want that.
Don't be doing that.
No, I don't really use the jam sugar. I prefer to use lemon juice if I needed pectin than use it. I think it leaves a bit of a sort of an aftertaste, as well as I think it makes it very jelly-like.
Yeah.
Where, you know, if you're looking for a nice jam, particularly a strawberry jam, that you might be tempted to use one of those jam sugars. Yeah. There's nothing nicer than a syrupy.
A little bit soft set, easy to spread on your piece of toast, or easy to put in between your sponges or something. Something that you don't have to work really hard to knock back.
Yeah.
Like, I hate trying to scoop jam out of a jar.
It's gloopy.
And it's rock solid.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So just getting back, I suppose, to the jam. when you get your fruit softened, and it must be soft, then it's safe to add the sugar. Add the sugar while it's warm. Add your sugar in, and then the next thing is do not increase your temperature until that sugar is fully dissolved. So you always stir with a wooden spoon, never with a metal spoon, because it can be a reaction of the acids.
And also the metal spoon will conduct heat and you'll probably burn your hand. That's another
all of these things we have to think about. Yeah. So would we not be better off going in and buying a jar of jam?
The
next day we'll bring the boss jam versus the homemade jam, and you'll see the reason
I have a listener who says my mother makes all kinds of jam all the time, so we can't eat anything else now.
Yes. Yeah.
Shop jam is awful compared to it. Everyone
it
loves beer as jam.
It's awful. Yeah.
Well, look, I'm sure some people, you know, like it and all the rest of it. And if you don't have the time to make your own, it'll do fine.
Yeah,
right?
We better get into the sugar, so because we're going to run out of time. I know what's going to happen. When we add the sugar, then it's important that sugar is fully dissolved. So you know by looking at the back of your spoon, you'll see the little specks of sugar. You'll feel the grit, so you know it's not time to turn up the heat. But once you're sure that all that sugar is dissolved, then you crank up the heat and you let it boil vigorously.
Yeah.
So while that's boiling, you make sure that you want to get. You either have a sugar thermometer. So the setting point is usually between 105 degrees centigrade or 220 Fahrenheit is the setting point. So if you have a sugar thermometer, it's great.
I would like to just say, if you don't have a sugar thermometer, because I personally don't use one when I'm doing it for myself or my family, I use three little side plates, like small plates, and I put them in the freezer. Mm. But while my fruit is boiling. So if you put them in the freezer, you'll be able to check your set really accurately. So your jam is boiling up and you have it heating and you're kind of going, oh, is this the right set? And you don't want to stick your hand necessarily with a probe, but a giant boiling pot of fruit and sugar. Because it will burn you quite badly if it does spit.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take a little teaspoon of the jam when you think it's nearly done and pop it on the frozen side plate and let it sit for about a minute and it'll come to room temperature that way. And then you can take your finger, if you tilt the plate on its side, and you can put your finger or the back of the spoon and scrape up. And if the jam doesn't move or it starts to run excessively, you know you've not reached your setting point
that's
yet.
That's a good idea.
That's a tip from my mum now that she's been using for years. Absolutely. Because she was not a temperature probe kind of person.
But that's the traditional way. But then,
it's great.
And if you put your, I always say, if you can pull your finger up and the line is left there, your jam is set. And if it's not set, now while I'm always checking the jam temperature, or setting point, I'll always take the jam off the heat just in case you overset it. So you don't overboil it. But you can, if it's not set, just put it back on the heat, continue boiling till you get to that stage. That's why you want two or three of these plates really cold in your freezer.
But once you're happy then that it has
take it off
and put it into your jars.
And do you know what a great investment is? If you're going to get into jam making, is a jam funnel.
I have one as well. They are so handy.
Yeah,
it's got a weird little spout on the bottom of it. It's nearly heart shaped.
Mm-hmm.
And because of jam, because it's so hot and you're trying to, it's the same with when you're trying to pour stuff into a bottle. Sometimes it gets airlocked and this little heart shape stops the airlock from happening. So you're able to take a ladle, pop it into your funnel and it'll just fill up your jam jars really easily.
And listen, how long does this keep for then?
So a year or more.
Yeah, I've had...
Optimistically 2 years.
If you've done everything right.
Correct. And you have... Number one, if your jars haven't been sterilised, forget about it. You must sterilise those jars and they must be dry.
Yeah.
Ladle in, fill it up, not right to the top of the jar, so leave it just to under the rim. And then you can either use your lids that are also sterilised and they will actually create a vacuum. Mm-hmm. So you put them on while hot.
All right, I'm going to leave it there because I want to tell our listeners that a red rain warning, which is very serious, has been issued now for counties Cork and Galway by Met Air, and in effect from midnight tonight until 10 a.m. tomorrow. So we will have more on that on RTE throughout the day. Thank you both so much for being with us, Anne-Marie, Don and Tara Gartland. Lovely to have you with us here today.